Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Hey, good morning, everybody. This is the Andy Griffin Show on KDXU. Coming up on the show, we're going to talk about things like, well, what's the stand your ground laws in the state of Utah? That's later on whether or not you could get in a lot of trouble if someone breaks into your house and you shoot them. That's with Dave Romer in the second half hour. First half hour, we've got Sean Christensen and Jordan Hess. Sean, of course, the CEO of the St. George Area Chamber of Commerce. Sean, how are you, man?
I'm good, Andy. How you doing?
I'm good. Up here at the state baseball playoffs, but, you know, in the mornings I like to come hang out in my son's basement. Now, people got the wrong idea. When I said I was in my son's basement the other day, I was like, oh, you're in this little dark corner and there's concrete walls and there's mice running. No, it's actually a finished basement. It's really nice. I'm not complaining. But it is cold down here. So, yeah, if you could send a blanket my way, that would be good.
Well, that's what you get for going up north. It's plenty warm down here, my friend.
It has been warm. It's also been very windy, though, over at Salt Lake Community College, where our local teams are doing their thing. Dixie, Snow Canyon on the winner's bracket. Desert Hill still has a chance to win a title, but they're going to have to get hot. They're going to have to win, I don't know, like four or five games in the next couple of days. But, yeah, it's fun being here. I know you've got Jordan Hess with you, and we are going to talk about cheese puffs during the course of our conversation. And now, what, cheese puffs? So I was telling you, Sean, and by the way, welcome, Jordan.
Thank you.
I was telling you, Sean, I usually get in trouble when I eat cheese puffs. I get the dirty look, and those are bad for you. And, you know, that's nothing but straight, what is it, sodium and salt and even some sugar. So, yeah, cheese puffs are one of those things when you're getting older you're not supposed to eat. But Jordan's going to eat some for a good cause. Right, Jordan?
I am. I mean, I've been voluntold, so looking forward to it. I was just sitting with at the new burger place, Seven Brothers in Washington, and Chris Connors happened to be there, and he asked me to sit with him, and then he told me the whole plan. So I've been roped into eating as many cheese puffs as I can in a half-hour time period. But everybody who shows up to watch, for each person that shows up, there's a dollar that will go to charity. So I am excited to take part in that, even though cheese puffs, man. I don't know how many I can eat in a half hour. And like you said, as you get old, probably shouldn't be eating them. So I guess that qualifies me as young, and I'll take that.
Have you been training, you know, maybe taking 5 minutes here and there to see how many you can get down? And of course, there's the orange goo dripping down your mouth factor as well, Jordan. I don't know. Are you ready for this?
I'm just looking forward to the orange fingertips. That's the favorite part of cheese puffs.
Well, you know, we've got things to mitigate that, Jordan. I may or may not have bought some really nice white gloves for you to wear during the cheap stuff eating.
Ooh.
And
really?
I might even have bought you an outfit.
Oh,
so,
oh
yeah.
Really? I don't quite know exactly what I've signed up for then.
After we leave Andy's show, maybe we'll have to swing by the chamber. I'll show you what the plan is and see if you're still on board.
Can you elaborate a little? What is the nature of the outfit? And you don't have to tell us exactly what it is. Is it more of a costume than an outfit, or what?
I would go with costume. Jordan may look a lot like what he's eating when he's eating them. And, yeah, I may even have a mask for him just so he can have some anonymity while he eats cheese puffs. I mean, definitely white gloves. He's got to wear the white gloves while he does it, because I think what we'll do is maybe we'll auction those off for charity at a later time. You know, the famous cheese puff eating white gloves.
No, but it is for a good cause, and so I'm willing to be as humiliated as I have to be for a good cause.
No, celebrated, not
celebrated, okay.
Now, you guys have both used the word voluntold. That, of course, is a kind of a hybrid, volunteered and told that you're going to do something. What does that mean exactly for you, Jordan? Who voluntold you?
It was Chris Connors, the owner of Farmstead Bakery, and he's got his Farmstead Coffee as well now. Great entrepreneur, moved up here from Vegas during COVID because he realized that we are the land of freedom. opened up Farmstead, and it is by far the most popular bakery in Utah. So I was, like I said, at Seven Brothers eating a burger over in Washington, and he happened to be there, and we ended up sitting next to each other enjoying our burgers. And then he said, well, you're going to be eating some cheese puffs next weekend, so put it on your calendar. And I agreed. Anything for Chris. Chris is a great member of our community, and I'd do anything to help that man.
So this is Chris's brainchild. Where is the cheese puff competition going to take place? Not competition, eating extravaganza going to take place?
So what we're doing is we have started a downtown business alliance with the chamber and several businesses that are downtown, and we're hoping eventually everybody jumps on board and pitches in. But our focus is to make sure that downtown stays vital and it has the traffic that it needs. We capture not only local traffic, but the tourist traffic that comes through town. I mean, it used to be, Andy, anytime somebody came to St. George, they ended up on the boulevard at one point or another.
Back in the day, yeah.
Yeah, but we have many profit centers now all over the county. And we want to start attracting people to continue to come downtown and take advantage of everything we have to offer there. And so the Downtown Business Alliance is going to be focused on that. And this is our first event. We're doing Musicians on Main, so they'll be individual musicians who we've paid to come play from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock on Saturday. It's free for anybody who wants to come and listen to them, but they'll be at Rise and Wander. They'll be at the Courtyard at Zions Bank. They'll be at Pica Rica on their patio, and they'll be on the patio of FS Coffee. And so, yeah, we'll have these four artists who will be playing. And then we thought, what the heck, let's have some fun with it, too, if we got everybody down there. So we roped Jordan into eating some cheese puffs. We saw a guy on Instagram that did it in Central Park in New York, and he got a lot of people out to watch him eat cheese puffs. And so Jordan's a good man and a good partner, and always has been. Obviously, he was a previous employee at the chamber until he made some bad decisions and left and went to Washington City. I'm kidding, Jordan.
Now, wait a minute. Washington City would argue with that.
I know Mayor Staley would have an opinion on that's the best decision Jordan ever made. So, we're just all pulling together, and we hope to grow this into something that happens often and lots of other events and even some advocating for our businesses downtown and what we want downtown to look like in the end, so that it's walkable and keeps attracting, you know, a lot of commerce that our businesses downtown could use.
Now, I think, first of all, it's a fantastic idea. Get a downtown business alliance. Try to promote people spending time downtown. Have you guys, though, addressed the fact that, I mean, let's be honest, in July and August, walking around downtown doesn't sound really fun when it's 112 degrees.
Well, I mean, that's one man's opinion.
come on. No, it's more than one man's opinion.
But okay. You're right. It is more than one man's opinion. Well, you know what? People are going to choose to spend their time with what they find enjoyable. And quite honestly, Andy, if we can make downtown, if we can take things like that into consideration as we start to evolve the downtown area in St. George, maybe we can address some of that. And I don't know what that looks like, but these are the types of issues that we want to take on as a Downtown Business Alliance to be able to keep it alive. I mean, we know our tourism industry drops significantly come summertime, but there are still millions who go to Zions during the summer and also swing into St. George while they're doing that, if not actually staying in, you know, here in the St. George, Washington area. So we want to be able to capture as much of that as possible. And, you know, these businesses, they want to make sure that their registers stay full, and we want to make sure they stick around and are able to enjoy everything that we have to offer in our economy down here.
And I will say this, I'm a 30-year resident of County. Honestly, if you keep the one word in mind, the word shade, it's not being bad. You know, when it's 100-whatever degrees, if you're standing in the sunshine, that's not pleasant. But if you're able to have shade, it's not. I mean, you can eat in an outdoor cafe, or you can spend some time outdoor doing whatever, as long as you got a little bit of shade. Now, And let's go back to the cheese puff thing. You got so the idea, I guess some guy did it on TikTok or YouTube or whatever. That's where the idea came from. Has the Cheetos company, I know we're calling them cheese puffs, you got the whole trademark thing and everything with Cheetos. Is Cheetos staying away from this, or have they embraced this? Or and are you going to be eating actual Cheetos, or are we going with an off-brand?
Well, Jordan's looking at me to answer that. So even though the question was posed to Jordan, Sean will answer. It's a brand of cheese puffs that we ordered, so it is not Cheetos. And they're very similar to the ones that you would get at Costco in the big two-gallon bucket. So we've got plenty of cheese puffs. We may even have cheese puffs for the crowd. You know, Andy, I'm just saying, if you need another reason to come down and watch Jordan eat cheese puffs, there may be some for you as well.
I did not realize that there's a TikTok or a YouTube out there. I will be watching that today to get some pointers on how to approach this, because I don't know whether to just go all in right at the beginning and just start shoving my face or pace myself or what. But I really hope it doesn't end up with any throw-up bags necessary.
See, and I have a different feeling on that. I would love to see Jordan push himself beyond the limit and us have to utilize a nearby garbage can. I think that'd be great.
All right. Give us, Sean, again, the cheese puff challenge, location, time, and date.
So it's on Saturday the 18th, so just a couple days away. And it will be at 1:30 p.m. And it will be in the Zions Bank Courtyard right there on Main Street. We'll have our live artist, and then that musician will take a break for 30 minutes. We'll still have music playing and lots of fun going on. But then we'll all cheer on Jordan for about 30 minutes to see how he can do. It's kind of a man versus food situation, so we'll be wishing him the best on that. And then back to the live artist after that. And our hope is that people go around and listen to all of the musicians and take time to, you know, spend time outside and with our businesses here. I mean, you've got retail with Rise and Wander. You've got the bank will actually be closed, so you can't go in and make deposits on a Saturday in the afternoon. But that's okay. They've given us permission to use that courtyard, and they're awesome partners. They're in for anything that's community-related. And then Pico Rico will be open and FS Coffee. It should be a good time.
Andy, we've got big plans for downtown Washington. And let me tell you right now, when we've got a downtown, Sean Christensen will be there eating cheese puffs on a Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Sign me up. I'm all in, Jordan. Now, I am all in.
Yeah, I actually, you know, that might actually be worth, I might have to donate some money on that one, because that sounds like that would be. Yeah, that would be worthwhile to see Sean all cheesy and gunky and stuff. Sean, you don't seem like the kind of guy that would have food all over your face at any one point in time. That just doesn't seem like you.
You know, if it's for charity and a good cause, Andy, you'll be surprised at what I'm willing to do.
Really?
I'll tell you what. If it's eating cheese puffs and making a mess, I could probably get into that.
Hey, Sean, how many cheese puffs are in a container?
I have not counted them.
How many containers did you buy?
Enough containers, Mr. Hess. Don't worry about it. There's plenty of containers.
Are these going to be like the balls, the little cheese ball thing?
That's right. The little cheese ball puffs. You're exactly right.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Those, probably a little easier than if you were getting those long ones or whatever. So
I think so. We couldn't call them cheese balls because we didn't want people confused thinking they'd show up and Jordan would have like a jalapeno and cheese, you know, cream cheese.
With a little almonds on the outside and all that. Yeah.
We wanted to make sure people really could see the cheese puff situation happening.
What's the drink situation? What am I washing these down with?
You know what? You place your order with me now, Jordan, and I promise they will be there.
Okay.
Whatever you want, I will have there. I think you're a Diet Coke fan, so we can have a 2-liter.
I don't know if that's a good combination, cheese puffs and Diet Coke on a hot afternoon.
You might never have either one ever again after 91 degrees on the patio there. But all right, we're talking with Sean Christensen and Jordan Hess getting ready for the cheese puff challenge on Saturday at 1:30. at the Zions Bank, like an outdoor patio type place there, Zions Bank.
Yeah, yeah, their courtyard that's just out there with all the artwork and stuff will just be right in that area there.
Very cool. What would be, you know, you talked about the Downtown Alliance, the Business Alliance. When you say downtown, what does that include? Is there, we're talking like a 4 or 5 block area, or are we talking about all of, you know, the main area of St. George? Are we talking, I mean, what if I have a business on Bluff Street? Am I excluded?
No, in fact, that's what we're trying to define, right, is looking and saying what becomes a walkable area for folks. The idea in to have an effective downtown, think of Park City. I'm not saying Park City's done well with everything, but one thing that they have done a great job with is their Main Street. And they've done a great job keeping that alive and making it something that just about everybody who goes to Park City at some point will stop on Main Street. We would love that to be what happens with downtown St. George. And so we haven't defined an area. We're essentially starting at Main Street and the Boulevard. And going as high as the, we're moving north toward the circle up there by Rise and Wander, and then south down toward Tabernacle. But I think that'll be defined over time, what we say, this is really the downtown area. But obviously, as a Chamber of Commerce, we don't want anybody to feel excluded, and we want to be able to provide a situation where every business that feels like they fit into that downtown area has an opportunity to belong. So I think that'll evolve over time, Andy. And that's why the Chamber's not just doing this on our own. We've pulled in a bunch of businesses that are very interested in seeing a very vitalized downtown. And so they're all pitching in, and we're making those decisions together.
It was not that long ago, and I guess it was because I'm old. 20 years ago or so, were hordes of young people walking up and down the boulevard. I remember the days. Even in the 90s, I worked at the newspaper, the Spectrum, and we would go out sometimes at, you know, midnight as we're trying to get the newspaper ready, and look at just the gangs of teenagers going up and down the boulevard. And of course, they kind of put an end to that a little bit with the rearranging of the boulevard and stuff. But and I don't know if that was necessarily good for St. George at the time, but it's good to see that you're making an effort again to get, you know, maybe revitalize things. I wouldn't call it dead, but I would say it's better that we maybe promote that and get, we are such a car society, Sean, sometimes. Yeah. It's nice to talk about, hey, let's walk downtown.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. It's funny, Andy, we have a intern that's working at the Chamber right now. She goes to Crimson Cliffs High School. She's part of the Washington County School District, and we work with them. We pretty continuously have an intern from the Washington County School District. Anyway, I asked her one day, I said, so how often do you come down to downtown St. George? She said, in all the time, which is a long time that she's been in the St. George area, she lives out in Washington Fields. She says, I've never been downtown except for today to come to the Chamber. And
wow.
I was like, you know what? We've got to change that. Like, we've got to change it for our locals. We've got to change it for our tourists. I may or may not have been one of those teenagers that was that was loitering on the boulevard during spring break in the 90s. But you know what? Like you say, that may not have been the best thing, but it was something. And so now we have the opportunity to bring the best things to downtown. A lot of people say, well, downtown, there's no parking. There is a ridiculous amount of parking in downtown St. George.
Yeah, a lot, yeah.
We've got to be able to make our public aware of that and then create a situation where they park their car and they can walk for 2 or 3 hours. And when I say walk, not walk for the entire 2 or 3 hours, but walk from business to business shopping, stop in and eat lunch. Like, they should be able to park in one place, and they can today, and be able to walk and enjoy an entire afternoon, whether they're on vacation or local.
Sean, we got about 2 minutes left. I know there was something else coming up that you wanted to mention real quick with these last couple of minutes.
Yeah, so we do our Salute to America every July. And Salute to America is an opportunity for us to celebrate our patriotism here in southern Utah. But we take all of the proceeds from that event and we donate them to our first responders. And we held this event last year. It was a sold-out event. We only had room for 150 people last year, and we packed the room, and we took all of the profit from that event and gave it to our fire departments. And we actually joined with StatPaks, who provides emergency backpacks, and we gave them the profit, and then they amplified it and gave like $10,000 worth of backpacks to our fire departments all over the county. And we're going to do that again this year, but this year it's going to be focused on our police departments. And so this event is to focus on them, to celebrate them and all the good work that they do for our community here, and be able to reward them from the business community for the protection they provide and the way they make our life safer and easier. So that's on July 17th. And if you want to learn more or come and participate, you don't have to be a chamber member. Just come and enjoy lunch and a inspiring program July 17th. And it goes from 11:30 to 1, and you can find out more at stgeorgechamber.com.
stgeorgechamber.com. All right. Thank you, Sean. It's so good to talk to you today. Jordan, I wish you luck. Man versus food. It is Jordan versus Cheese Puff. Do you want to throw a number out there? How many Cheese Puffs you'll be able to think you'll be able to down?
I don't even have a clue, but I will be eating them for a half hour straight. So that's a lot of Cheese Puffs. I don't think I'm going to eat between now and Saturday.
So if you can do one a second, 60 seconds times 30 minutes, that's 1,800 Cheese Puffs or something like that. You can do it, Jordan. You can do it, my man.
I got it. 1,800. Let's shoot for 2,000 Cheese Puffs.
All right. He's Jordan Hash, Sean Christensen. I'm Andy. We're going to take a weather break. Thanks, guys, for coming on today. When we come back, Dave Romer will be joining us. We'll talk a little bit about standing your ground in property that you own. We'll be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Andy Griffin, actually coming via the telephone from Taylorsville. And Dave Romer, it's kind of weird. Usually I'm in studio and a guest sometimes is on the phone, but now I'm on the phone and Dave Romer is in studio. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how's it going?
Appreciate you coming on today. It's good to talk to you. How's business? How are things going over there at Modern Warriors?
Oh, it's doing well. Staying busy. It's clearly an election year, so that's it's good for business at least. But we've been staying busy. We've been pumping out a bunch of training classes and stuff, so it's been fun. It's been fun.
Utah is a state where you do not have to have a concealed carry permit to carry a gun, but I know guys like you often tell me you probably want to get one anyway, just to be safe. Tell me what that means.
Yeah, still recommend it. Kind of the biggest aspects are going to be from the legal side. One, if you've never taken the concealed carry class, you'll learn a bunch as far as Utah law on what you can and cannot do and where you can carry and all that. Pretty useful information. The other side of that I've kind of thought about is that if you do get into shooting and you end up going to court, whether it's civil or criminal, either way, if someone on the jury is not really gun friendly, if I was that person, I would be looking at that going, state sponsored course, and he chose not to take it. That's interesting.
I could easily
see that hurting you, especially on a civil side, right? Because legally, criminal side, if you're in the right legally, they can't do too much. But on a civil side, you can still be liable for fines and lawsuit fees and all that kind of junk. So.
That's a great segue, Dave, into one of the topics I wanted to talk about today a little bit, and that is standing your ground. And it's been in the news all over the country what the laws are if you are protecting your home, if you are protecting your property, if you're protecting your pets, if you're protecting your family members, if you're protecting yourself when you're on your own property. Can you maybe clarify a little bit what the stand your ground law is and what it specifically is in our state?
Right. So there's, unfortunately, it does vary state by state, which is you know, very, very wonderful for making things very confusing. But kind of the gist of it here is that here in Utah, you don't have an obligation to try to flee. If someone breaks into your house, like, you don't, there are some states where it is, the onus is on you to try to escape your house, even though they're in it. And then if for some reason they have come in and set up a way where you can't get out, then you could engage them or engage in kind of force. Luckily, we don't have that obligation here in Utah. However, you can't be shooting people just to protect property. So, like, if somebody's like stealing your lawnmower in your front yard, you can't just go out and shoot them. That's not considered dangerous. That's not authorization for lethal force. Obviously, call the cops, let them know what's going on, get a good description through the window. But unless they start threatening you or your family or something like that, you still can't just start firing at them. That's not going to end well for you. Now, in the house, it gets a little more gray. If somebody's inside your house, if a reasonable person would have the assumption or expectation that this person's trying to cause you or your family serious bodily harm or death, by all means, you have every go ahead to use lethal force. Now, if someone breaks in your house in the middle of the night and all the lights are off and they're milling around, it's hard to 100% justify that. So that's where the kind of a reasonable person would assume potentially. I don't know if they went into my kitchen and grabbed a knife, even if they came in, you know, unarmed, or if they brought a weapon or something like that, or they were just here because they thought no one was home. That's not info you have until you do, right? So there's going to be a level of gray area there. Kind of the rule of thumb I would say is don't try to find a way to shoot someone. If you legitimately fear for your life, do what you need to do, or the life of your family or something. I mean, like for me, before we had kids, our policy was if somebody breaks in the house, we had a safe in our closet, master closet. My wife opens the door to the safe and hides behind it with the firearm to kind of cover the one entrance to it. That gives her cover, so even if they shot at her, the safe would stop it, and then she can fire back if need be. There's no running around the house. For me, I'm at a different angle covering the same single point of entry, but we're not running around the house trying to find everybody, right? That's not – if they take a TV or something, yeah, it sucks, but it's not the end of the world. Now, if they get into our bedroom at that point, game on, right? That's you've made that mistake. Now that I have kids, they're not in my room, so that's not – Laura's not running around the house. She's not trying to find anybody. But for me, I'm heading to the kids' rooms to make sure they're okay, right? So now I actually have to move. My whole scenario is different now. And so there's not a universal answer. There's not one way to do it for everybody. But your situation's going to dictate. We're not in a townhome or anything, so I don't have to worry about sharing a wall with a neighbor or anything like that either. So as far as angles and all of that, you know, it's a little bit simpler for us. On how to maneuver around and what angles can fire through and not have to worry about, you know, potentially hitting the kids' room or something like that. But these are all things you need to factor in, right? And one reason you should be thinking about it before something happens. You know, she's going to hunker down and watch a Fatal Funnel while I'm moving around to get the kids and get them back to us, right? And once everyone's together, no more moving. You know, you steal some property, whatever. But insurance is there for a reason. We'll be okay.
So, you know, you mentioned gray areas, and that's a thing I think that concerns a lot of us. I know myself personally, you know, I want to protect my home. I want to protect my property. I certainly want to protect mine and my wife's lives. We don't have kids at home anymore. Thank goodness for a lot of reasons there. But but the gray area is the part that really worries me. And I know you're not a lawyer, Dave, so I don't expect
absolutely not.
You know, a legal decision
on
this.
It's not legal advice. Let's clarify that.
What if someone's there to vandalize your home and, you know, they've got a hammer or they've got a machete or a knife or, you know, I've seen, you know, videos of people who they'll actually go harm someone's pet because they're tired of the pet pooping on their yard or whatever. And so they'll go out to and purposely harm the pet. So many gray areas. How do we know what to do in some of those situations?
Right, unfortunately, that is the reality, right? So, we talked about this a little bit last time. You know, kind of preparing yourself mentally for various situations is very important. Having that mindset,
right?
That's what's going to get you ahead, and that makes a huge difference. And part of that is kind of playing these tactical decision games, right? You go, okay, well, scenario is, you know, it's 2 a.m. Someone breaks into my house, and you know, they're going after my dog with a club in their hand. You know, what do you do, right? So, these are things you have to think through and come to a conclusion. You know, and kind of set some. And no, nothing's going to present exactly how you dream it up, right? Everything's going to be different, but playing through these and kind of preparing yourself for that is how you're going to make those decisions a lot faster and make good decisions instead of just in a panic. I mean, one of the big arguments can be made is like someone just broke into my house and now they're trying to commit violence against the living creature, you know, in terms of like a pet, right?
Yeah.
A reasonable person could assume that like they might turn around and now come after you, right? If they were so angry, they're going to break into your house in the middle of the night when you're home and try to kill your pet. They're probably pretty angry with you as well, right? So
yeah.
Now they see you there. There's a very good likelihood that they're now going to come after you or your kids or your wife or whatever, right? So kind of my rule is if I'm seeing a felony being committed on my property, you might as well expect that things are already escalated to the point that there's really no telling how far this is going to go. And obviously, if you can talk them down and make them stop real quick, then awesome. But likelihood for someone like that, you start yelling at them, they're going to start coming for you, and that makes that decision actually pretty easy at that point.
The Hollywood scenario is you pull the gun out, point them at them, and say freeze or I'll shoot.
Freeze or I'll shoot.
That's not very realistic, is it?
Yeah. And again, it's situation dependent, right? I mean, Someone's over there and they've got your dog on the floor. You're already drawn on them, and you yell at them, you know, to stop. They're going to do one of two things. They're either going to stop or they're going to come after you, right? So it's,
yeah.
You know, now the flip side is you see someone walk around your house with a gun in their hand, and I'm already drawn on them. Am I going to yell at them? Probably not.
And I've heard the arguments as well. Then they know exactly where you are and what you're doing.
You have a firearm out. You broke into my house and you're milling around. Reasonable expectation is you're here to cause serious bodily harm or death, right? So
yeah.
I'm not going to then compromise my ability to win that fight by saying, "Hey, please stop." You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
And again, this is not legal advice. So yeah, that could, in fact, turn around to bite me in especially civil court. It could, but that's a risk I'm willing to take because, frankly, my life and my family's life is far more valuable to me than someone who's broken into my house.
Good point. I think it's worth mentioning, Dave, before we go to commercial break here, that these scenarios are very, very unlikely. Chances of someone coming into your house and trying to do harm to you, especially someone you don't know. Very, 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 I don't know how many varies I can throw in there, unlikely to happen.
Right. However, yeah, this isn't a normal Tuesday, right?
Yeah. However, if it does happen, you're sure going to be happy you were prepared and you know, kind of had a plan already in place.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, preparing for the worst, hoping for the best tends to be kind of the best policy to keep you ready for everything. It's the same reason for concealed carry. Statistically, the chances of you ever needing that are so low in the U.S. You know, you could look at that from a math perspective and go, man, y'all are lunatics for carrying those things around. But the flip side, it only takes one time in your entire life where you need it that you go, oh my God, that was worth lugging this thing around for 40 years and being a pain, because I made it out, you know? So it only takes once.
All right, Dave, we're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about, well, where do you keep your guns when you're at home? Should you have a safe? Do your kids know where you keep your guns? Amazingly, most grown-ups that are gun owners think their kids have no idea where they're hiding their guns. Guess what, folks? Your kids know. We'll be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Hey, thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you want to hear my voice some more, I don't know why you would, but if you do want to, I know we have some baseball games for you today on ESPN Radio at 1:30. We will have Desert Hills as they take on Bear River in an elimination game. And then at 4:30, Snow Canyon takes on the winner of Timpanogos and Park City. And at 7 o'clock, Dixie will take on the winner of that Desert Hills Bear River game. So lots of games for you during the course of the day today over on ESPN Radio. Talking with Dave Romer. Hi, Dave. Doing all right over there?
Yeah, still doing well. Still doing well. Miss seeing your face over here, but, you know.
Dave is our firearms expert, also works at Modern Warriors over there across the freeway from the Bloomington Walmart. Back by, is that a pilot station there? Back by, back,
yes, the pilot station La Quinta, kind of tucked in the corner next to Appliance Wholesalers Plus back there.
Now, I'm going to read you some statistics, Dave, and I want you to maybe react a little bit about these. These are interesting numbers, but these are real numbers. We're not making these up.
Okay.
An estimated, let's see, 4.6 million American children live in a home where at least one gun is kept loaded and unlocked. That's nearly 5 million people. Nearly half of all parents with a weapon in the home wrongly believe their children don't know where the gun is stored. Mm-hmm. And guns used in about two-thirds of all school shootings were taken from the home. They were owned by the parents who did not lock the guns up. Dave, you're a dad.
Yeah.
You're a gun enthusiast.
Absolutely.
This probably hits pretty close to home to you. You need to keep those guns tucked away.
Yeah, that's yeah, it's I don't know where the concept of thinking your kids don't know where they are came from.
Yeah.
I don't know if those people have ever met kids, but they seem to pay really close attention to everything, and their brains are sponges.
They
see or hear one thing one time, and there it is. So yeah, if they've ever seen any of them anywhere, they know where they are. I don't know. Kids are good at that.
So what do you recommend then that we do with our guns when we are not wearing them?
Yes, so obviously on your body, that's like I often will have a gun on my body, even at home for periods of time. To me, that is still completely acceptable, even with kids around, because it's in a holster. I have positive control over it. I know exactly where it is, what's going on. If they start trying to reach for it for some weird reason, you're obviously very aware of that, and you can stop that. Outside of that, though, it is outside of your control, and so that is now fair game for any intentionally or unintentionally nefarious actions, right? So that's what we're trying to avoid. Obviously, a safe is your best bet for storing at least the majority of your firearms, a vault room, a safe, something like that, where not only is it going to keep just prying, kids prying arms and eyes off of stuff, but also if you got broken into, it's actually a hard point that people aren't going to be able to just take or walk out with and then try to figure out how to open later or anything weird like that. So I would highly recommend doing a safer vault room, something along those lines for at least the majority of your stuff. Now, obviously, when we're talking about like home invasion and stuff like that, you need to have a firearm readily available in order for that to happen. If you've got to then go run to the safe and open it and get stuff out and then load it, you can pretty well rest assured it's just not going to be available to you, right? You've got way too much going on, time and steps, when something's happening to deal with before you're even ready. That's too late. That's where some of these kind of rapid access, a lot of them call them safes. I don't know, personally, I don't know if that's quite the right term. Because when I think safe, I mean, I think like if a burglar comes in, they're trying to get into it, they can't, one, just take it with them to figure out how to open later, and two, with some basic tools, can't get into it, and really quickly, just going to town on it. And so, I would kind of classify more as storage lockers or lock boxes or something kind of more along those lines. It takes some intention, but if you're motivated, you can get in relatively quickly, or just steal it, the whole thing, and figure it out later. We carry a company called Vault-Tec. There's other companies as well, like Hornady and some others, that do similar stuff. But they do rapid access safes. So, like, I keep one of those under my bed with an AR in it and all that stuff. But those, you can use a code, but a lot of them will do fingerprint. Some of them you can actually wear a bracelet that has, like, RFID in it. So you just put your hand over there. It stays on your body, so it's not floating around. You can do, like, key tags that go on your keychain. There's a myriad of ways that you can get into these very rapidly, even if you're half asleep. And so that allows it to be locked up. So even if someone came in trying to find it, they know where it is, they're trying to get to it, they're not going to be able to with you sitting there. If something happens in, 5 seconds or less, you could have something ready, right? And you're not having to think really hard. Oh, man, what did I set that combo for? I don't know.
Yeah,
you know, it's not really what
if you're in,
it's not really where your mind is if you think someone's in your house and you need a gun right now. So if you can pull that out of the equation. That's good.
I took this pretty seriously. I have one in my side drawer there next to my bed. That is a fingerprint one, and it's not very big. It's big enough just to hold a sidearm, a pistol. Mm-hmm. But within a few seconds, I can pull that drawer open, put my fingerprint, on the little pad there, and pop that thing open, and I'm ready to go. So
absolutely,
I feel like that's a pretty kind of compromise to that solution. It is locked up. Kids can't get to it,
right.
Even grandkids, but I do have fairly quick access to it.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's an awesome way to do it. A lot of people get kind of lost in the weeds on those types of lock boxes or safes, or whatever you want to call them. They need to be all this fire rating, and they need to, be impenetrable and be able to store 57 guns. It's like, no, that's not the point, right? this is for the one or two that you need quick access to, and it's only in there when you're home, right? You're kind of by definition, like your carry gun's going in there, right? So if you're not home, it's with you. So even if someone broke in and stole it, they're not taking anything. So you don't need that level of security to it. You just need enough that, if you're laying there in bed, no one's going to get that open real fast. And you can get to it quickly without having to think too hard.
And it'll keep the kids, the prying little fingers away from it, because they won't be able to get it open.
That's right. Yeah, Vault-Tec actually makes a really cool one that it's just a desk clock. It's kind of big, but it looks like just a standard desk clock. It's got a wireless phone charger on top that you can just drop your smartphone on, charge it up, do whatever. But it's got a fingerprint scanner and a 4-digit code that you can put on there. And the whole front face just slides out when you put the code in. And then you can keep a handgun or something in there. It's pretty cool. Works really good for inside. It's kind of hidden in plain sight, if you will. Obviously, if you know what it is, you know what it is. But, again, it's not – this isn't while you're gone for 3 weeks where you're going to store it. So it's it's okay.
Well, and like you said, the important thing is as the younger children, we don't want an accident to happen. And as the kids get older, maybe they want to take it out and show it off to their friends. Or maybe, they're having an emotional crisis and want access to that. So it's good to have these things. Locked up. Unfortunately, we're out of time, Dave, but I appreciate your expertise today. And again, I feel like we've learned a lot. And I know this. Don't break into Dave's house. Dave will have a problem with that. And I'll do the same in my house.
I'm not too amenable to people breaking in.
He's Dave Romer. I'm Andy Griffin. Thanks for listening today. Tomorrow on the program, Annette Billings, mayor of Hurricane City. They've got some big events coming up. She'll be on there. We'll be giving away a bunch of tickets, too, to those events. Dave, thanks for coming on today, man.
No, thank you. It was a pleasure.
We're out of time. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We will talk to you tomorrow.